Hello, fellow travelers, and welcome to Adventures in Security, episode 28 for June 4th, 2006. I'm your host, Tom Olzak. This is a weekly podcast published each Sunday evening sometime before midnight. You can find the information covered in our episodes at blogs.ittoolbox.com/security/adventures. If you're interested in commenting on what you hear or about topics you'd like us to talk about, please send email to podcasts@adventuresinsecurity.com. This week's episode is part three of a three-part series on storage media sanitation. We've got a lot to talk about this week, so let's jump right in. In part one of this series, I examined the need for storage media sanitation processes in your organization. In part two, I explored object reuse and retirement challenges for three media types. Part three, the last installment in the media sanitation series, takes a look at various ways to prevent data compromise when reusing or retiring storage media. But first, it's important to understand the basic sanitation processes to be used based on the classification of the data stored on reused or retired magnetic, optical, or semiconductor media. According to the NIST guidelines for media sanitation, there are four sanitation processes: disposal, clearing, purging, and destruction. The process of disposal essentially consists of tossing the media in a dumpster with no attempt to hinder or prevent the recovery of data. This also includes the reuse of disks, tape, or memory without taking steps to protect information that may have been stored during previous operational use. It's acceptable to follow a simple disposal process when the data stored on the media is classified as public. In other words, the release of the information will not cause harm to the organization, its employees, its shareholders, or its customers. Clearing requires taking steps to prevent the recovery of data through a keyboard attack. As we've seen, this requires more than deleting files. At least a single overwrite of the writable areas of the media must be completed. A single overwrite significantly increases the effort, or work factor, required to recover information. Not only does the attacker need physical access to the media, but recovery requires the use of lab-based tools. Clearing is acceptable when release of the information stored would cause only moderate harm to the organization, its employees, its shareholders, or its customers. Purging is necessary when the compromise of the information stored on the media will result in serious and possibly irrecoverable harm to the organization, its employees, its shareholders, or its customers. Data is overwritten enough times to increase the work factor of lab attack attempts to a level that exceeds the data's value to the attacker. Ideally, all remnant data is removed. Purging is a good way to retain media you wish to reuse. However, the best process for ensuring the irretrievability of highly sensitive data is to destroy the media. During the destruction process, media is reduced to a state in which both keyboard and lab attack attempts are impossible. Again, the process you select depends on the sensitivity of your information and the potential impact on your business if the information is compromised. With these basic processes in mind, let's look at specific approaches to sanitizing magnetic, optical, and semiconductor storage. The process of clearing magnetic storage is a simple matter of writing a single character to all writable areas of a disk or tape. This prevents the use of easily obtainable utilities to recover deleted files. Purging isn't so easy. Purging requires that all usable remnants of any data ever stored on the tape or disk is irretrievable. In part two of this series, we looked at Gutmann's assertion that successful data retrieval grows less probable the more times it's overwritten. Further, recovering information is made possible by calculating variances in voltage levels detected by the read head. Effective purging using an overwrite technique consists of two factors. First, the data must be overwritten a sufficient number of times to make recovery very difficult, if not impossible. Second, the overwrite cycles must use alternating ones and zeros. For example, if we wrote all zeros to all writable areas on a tape during the first overwrite pass, we would then write all ones on the second pass. But there's a problem with this approach. certain disk technologies will not write a large number of contiguous zeros or ones. Why is outside the scope of this episode, but what is important to understand is that the tool you use must take this into account. The best approach is alternating bit sequences that result in writing the complement of the bit written during the previous write cycle. If you go up to the blog site and take a look at the notes for this episode, there's a table that shows a 3-byte cycle that conforms to this standard. And this series of patterns meets the Department of Defense general standard for purging magnetic media. And that is, first, write a single pattern. Second, write its complement. In other words, if you wrote a 0 in a bit position on the first pass, the complement of that is a 1. Say, would you write a 1 in the second pass? And the third step is to write just any pattern. So again, that's write a single pattern, write the complement of that pattern, and then write any pattern. The actual number of these overwrite cycles necessary for tape or disk depends on the storage media and its sensitivity. Degaussing is another way to purge magnetic media by erasing all data ever stored on a tape or disk. Degaussers use an electromagnetic field to destroy magnetic imprints on media. The degausser used depends on the media processed. Various magnetic field strength levels are required depending on the media types. Also, degaussers must be serviced regularly to ensure they continue to produce the expected field strength. Degaussing isn't always the best approach when you want to reuse the erased media. Exposing certain types of tapes and hard drives to a strong magnetic field will render them useless. Be sure to check with the media manufacturer before using degaussing technology. Finally, magnetic media you don't plan to reuse can be destroyed. Acceptable destruction methods include pulverizing, smelting, incineration, and shredding. Now let's move on to optical discs. If clearing is your objective, overwriting rewritable optical discs might be acceptable. But as I wrote in part 2 of this series, there's no proven method for purging them. Further, overwriting is impossible for clearing or purging other types of optical media. When dealing with highly sensitive information stored on optical discs, destruction is your best option. In addition to the destruction options I listed for magnetic media, you might also apply an abrasive substance, for example an emery wheel or a sander, to the recording surface. There are products available that allow you to feed stacks of optical discs into a device that makes this approach quick and relatively easy. Preventing semiconductor data remnants begins before the storage media is ever used. Goodman recommends the following steps to reduce the potential threats posed by semiconductor data remnants. First, don't store crypto keys in the same RAM location for long periods. Occasionally move them to different locations and clear the original location. Next, cycle EEPROM or flash sales 10 to 100 times with random data before writing anything sensitive to them, to eliminate any noticeable remanence effects arising from the use of fresh cells. Don't assume that a key held in RAM in a piece of crypto hardware is destroyed when the RAM is cleared. The circuitry might carry an after image of the key. And finally, remember that some non-volatile memory devices are a little too intelligent and may leave copies of sensitive data in mapped out memory blocks after the active copy is erased. Overwriting all memory cells is an acceptable method to clear semiconductor memory. However, destruction or degaussing might be the only processes your organization finds acceptable. Again, it depends on the media and the purging tools used. The destruction techniques listed for magnetic media also apply to memory devices. Storage media manufacturers are not ignoring data remanence challenges. Each generation of storage media includes magnetic and semiconductor devices that are better at resisting remanence than the previous generation. The technology exists today that increases lab attack work factors to significant levels, but it typically resides on the newest, highest density, and by extension, most exotic storage devices available. Like most of you, I work in the real world, trying to make a business case for purchasing sophisticated devices for sanitation, or to pay a third party for media destruction isn't always easy. Like any other information security proposal, the solution must be based on a solid risk management assessment. If the potential impact on your business doesn't justify the costs associated with media sanitation, then it's probably not the right thing to do at this time. However, it's a good idea to ask the right questions as your network engineers start ripping out those old servers. Well, that's it for this week. I hope I was able to help you make your network just a little bit safer. And I'd like to remind you to check out my book, Just Enough Security, which is now the electronic version anyway, which is now available at Amazon.com. And until next time, be careful what you click.